Praise the Lord forevermore. We've been talking to you about prayer, and more especially about delightful prayer. And we've been talking about what makes it delightful. And what makes it delightful is that it's not a form or a pattern. It's not learning a prayer or certain words. You know, people are into incantation. Have you ever noticed that? People like incantations. Witchcraft gets into incantation. Well, that's a sad counterfeit for serving our God, isn't it? So we're not into incantation. We're not into magic words. In the name of Jesus is not a magic word, right? We're into relationship. Can you say relationship?
Relationship.
Can you say intimate? Intimate relationship. That's what we're into. We get to know Him. To know Him. The Bible says to know Him aright is life eternal. We don't know about Him. We get to know Him. And every believer has this privilege of knowing Him, of intimately responding to Him. It's interesting that God uses animals to teach us about it. He said in talking to us in John 10:27, He said, My sheep hear My voice. And I know them. And He's not talking about I know about them. I know. He knows you. He knows you. Let me tell you something. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many are missing too. You and Keith and me. But you know what the Bible says? It says not one hair will perish. Think about that. He knows us. He knows us. And not only does He know us now, but He knew us then. From the very beginning, He knew us. While you were lost and out doing your thing, He knew you. And He maneuvered your life in such a way. Have you ever thought about some of the things that happened to you? Through the years, I've had, I can't tell you how many people that say, you wouldn't believe how we ended up in Grand County. You know, there was just something amazing. God brought us here. And if you go to any place, you're going to find people set in certain churches that are going to say the same thing. God brought us here. We wouldn't have done this. This was not our plan. Not a thing that I had in mind when I was growing up. Some of us came kicking and screaming, right, Tammy? Yeah. Praise God. But you know, God's a rewarder of them that will diligently seek Him. And He knows you. Not only does He know you, He does know about you. He knows all of your circumstances, all of your situations. You know what He knows? He knows what you're going to need tomorrow. Did you ever think about that? He knows what you're going to need down the road. And He's a good Father, so He prepares. He knows how to give good gifts unto His children. What an amazing God we have. Loves every one of us. Loves people that curse His name. He loves them. Still loves them. And we get to be in relationship with Him. Should make you want to praise God. Should make you want to just lift your hand and say, thank you. Thank you, God. How marvelous. How wonderful. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. I stand amazed to think of Him. And what does He call for me? That I hear His voice. That He knows me and I follow Him. Say that out loud. I follow Him. That's all you got to do. Follow Him. Follow Him. So when you hear, it's not enough just to be hearers. There are people that have been hearing. Usually what happens, people hear something, they don't like what they hear, they shut it off. The children of Israel heard Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh on the mountain. They saw the pre-incarnate Yeshua in the cloud of glory. And they heard His voice on that great day. In Exodus chapter 19, we read that it started out early in the day with the clouds laying low on the mountain. And it began to thunder and rumble and thunder and lightning and smoke and fire. And suddenly they heard the very voice of God. Said the shofar started blowing and got louder and louder and louder. And then God spoke to them the words of His covenant. Does anybody want to demonstrate what all but Moses and Joshua and Caleb and a few others did? They ran away. They heard. We're talking about hearing. They heard. Remember, that was their number one command. Hear, O Israel. Hear. Hear. Hear Yahweh. Hear Him. They ran. They said, you know what we'd like? We'd like a religious system. You wonder how the religious system got started? It started right then. They said, we'd like to make this a religious system. We'll hear from you, Moses. You hear from God, we'll hear from you. That's religious. Some people today still live by that. They don't do anything unless their spiritual leader says it. But God says, my sheep hear my voice. You know what that is? That's the priesthood of all believers. Not only can you hear from God, you can talk to God. Not only can you talk to God, you can intercede for others with God. Amen? And you can hear and know how important it is that we come to this place and recognize that this is not some great, unapproachable ideal, but this is the normal Christianity. Who wrote that book, Dan? Watchman Nee. A great Chinese Christian wrote a book called Normal Christianity, and it speaks of things just like this. Being in contact with God, hearing from God, walking according to His will, walking according to, you know, every believer, men, women, children, all of them should be doing this. Shouldn't be something that is just set apart for somebody that we see on television healing the sick. Or some evangelist that you go see that prays over people, gives them words of knowledge and words of wisdom. But it should be for all of us. Every believer should be walking in this. No, the children of Israel ran, but you know what? Most believers nowadays have still carried on that great tradition of the forefathers. We stay far enough from God that in case He says something that's too tough, we can kind of say, well, I don't hear that well. I'm never quite sure if I'm hearing from God or if it's just my imagination. But the Bible says we can hear. Not only can hear, but should. God wants you to hear Him. But once you hear, then you must do. You must be doers and not hearers only. Or another way to say that is an obedient one is a faithful one. One who is filled with faith will also obey, right? We like to talk about our faith. Well, I have faith. I believe God. Yes, I believe God. Bless God, I believe Him. Well, if you believe Him, you'll do what He says, right? That's fact. An obedient one will be faithful. But let's just face it. Most of us haven't even heard this message much, let alone started to practice it. It sounds like something that's way out there, doesn't it? A little inner sanctum, or for you of a later generation, the outer limits. I don't know what they have nowadays. They got all kinds of eerie things going. But this is not eerie. Say, it's not eerie. People are drawn to that. Have you ever noticed that? Why do you suppose people are drawn to eerie, beyond the natural realm of things? Why are people drawn to that? What is it? That's right. God built us with an appetite for spiritual things. And it's an amazing thing to me how people will suck up to the cults. Why? Because they offer some kind of supernatural experience. And yet God has a supernatural experience that's walking in the light. There's no darkness involved in it. Did you ever notice how all of those things are done in darkness? But God does them in the extreme light of glory. Totally opposite. We can have that. Our appetites can be sated in the things of God. Filled with the things of God. We don't have to go. And yet, you watch the movies that go over big. There's some kind of supernatural appearance of some, where they get their power from. Not good, right? They're the ones that sell big. But God, in this book, describes all kinds of things that are exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think through His power that works in us. Isn't it amazing how we'll go off to some strange fire, strange gods, when our God has the real McCoy? Amen? So here today, I want to talk to you about that more. And tell you that if you want to get into this, you need to start right where you are. You need to start listening for God today, right now, here in this service. Hear what God says. Say it again. I am a sheep. I hear my shepherd's voice. I follow him. Do you mean that?
Yes.
Yeah, why? Because it's the Word. It's true whether you mean it or not. But if you believe it, you can begin to act upon it. But you have to start someplace. Amen? You know, I don't know. I don't have a real story about Moses. But I have a story, but I don't have every day's life that he spent of those from the time he was 40 till he was 80. But somehow he was learning obedience. He was learning to hear. Learning to be led to the point that when he saw a flaming fire on a bush, and the bush wasn't being consumed with a fire, and God spoke from it, he didn't run too. God had to do a work in him, amen? He had to start where he was, but he came to the place where he could respond to God in the bush. Amen? And so we have to start where we are. We have to be faithful, and we talked about this last week. We have to be faithful in little things. How many of you believe God would talk to you about something small? That's the way you learn. He begins talking with us about small things. How insignificant would you get in your leading? Well, if you want to learn to hear, you get in pretty insignificant about it, wouldn't you? You get right down to the little things, the small things. Does God care what kind of breakfast cereal I eat? Well, He probably really does, if you know the truth, if you're like a lot of people in their breakfast cereal. He probably really cares. But you know, if you listen to Him, He'll guide you. Do you know what I do systematically? I tell the Lord, I want to eat those things that are really good for me, Lord. And so, you know, I want you to help me to see them. Not just my old natural appetite, but to see things that are really good for me so that I can put things in my body that'll sharpen me physically, mentally. Amen? I want to do that. And so some people say, well, you know, you can just get on the internet and find that out. Can you? Oh, can you? Did you know there's all kinds of things on the internet that aren't true? That's why they have to have Snopes.com now. To tell you what's true and what's just a big bunch of baloney. No, you can't learn things by just... You need to listen to God. And not only that, we hear these wonderful things from time to time, these great things that people have discovered that are good for us, and then a few weeks later, what do we hear? A few months or a couple years later, people are having bad reactions to them. They're bad for them. Did you know God doesn't ever do that? He never had a recall. Praise God, everything He did was good. But here's what the Bible says. It says, be faithful in little things. Luke 16:10 in the New Living Translation says, unless you're faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. So it just makes sense. You got to start out small, don't you? And if you cheat even a little, you know, I think we ought to stop and think about that a little bit. Cheat. What does it mean to cheat? Do people cheat? Are we tempted to cheat? Yeah, it's a temptation, isn't it? It's a temptation. What would be an example of cheating, saints?
Not following all the rules
would be an example of cheating. Give me an example specifically.
Taxes.
What?
Taxes.
In other words, if I say, well, Dan maybe could tell us a little bit about that. Do people ever try to cheat on their taxes, Dan? I want you to know something, and this may be a revelation to some of you, but there are people that cheat on their taxes that aren't even in Congress. Isn't that right? But we have heard a lot about congressmen cheating. Well, how does that make you feel when you find out that they cheat? How does that make you feel? Does that make you feel good? Well, I want you to think of something, that you actually have a higher place than a congressman. You actually have a status in life that's higher than Congress makes a man. And that status is you belong to Jesus. You're His. And how does it make you feel when a Christian gets caught cheating? That even feels worse than a congressman, doesn't it? By the way, some of those congressmen, I guess, are Christians. I used to know several. I don't know too many anymore, but I used to know of several congressmen that followed the Lord. So don't cheat even in a little thing. It says if you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. How many of you found this, that when you begin to fudge in a certain area, it gets easier? It's pretty soon it just becomes your pattern. I saw a man the other day that they've been investigating, and he had turned in his books. It turned out that he left out over $2 million. Over $2 million. I mean, this was after the IRS began to ask him for an accounting. He left out $2 million. Had to come back and do a revised later because they caught him. The 11th verse says, if you are trustworthy about worldly wealth, if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? What are the true riches?
Kingdom of God.
Raising the dead and healing the lepers. Amen? Making the lame walk and the blind see. That's true riches, isn't it? The Word of God is the true riches coming forth from us. Who will trust you with that if you can't even be trusted with the resources of this world. Worldly wealth in the King James is called mammon. Mammon. And God indicates that mammon can become a god to people. Can become an idol. The 12th verse says, if you're not faithful with other people's money, why should you be trusted with money of your own? So the first place I believe God wants you to hear Him is in these small matters. And the Bible says the least of these is money. It's always surprising to people in this world to hear that money is a small matter. But it is. In God's eyes, money is small. It's just one of the tools that He's given us to get those things that we need here on this earth. But it's a small matter. So as we're then faithful in small matters. I hear you, God, about what you say to do with my money. Oh, yes, I hear what you say about giving. I hear that you say, oh, the tithing hasn't passed away. Well, I always heard tithing had passed away because, Lord, isn't tithing part of the law? Oh, it's not? Oh, I see. Tithing was before the law. And Jesus said, you tithe in mint and cumin and anise, but you leave the weightier works of the law undone. These ought you to have done. What's that? Tithe. But you shouldn't leave weightier matters, mercy and justice. Loving people as I've loved you. You shouldn't leave that undone. So is tithing done away? Certainly not. So hearing God, hearing about giving 10%, that's what a tithe is, 10%. And then hearing about offerings and giving in other areas. Well, that's an example for us to follow so that we can prepare ourselves to be obedient in bigger ways. I'm obedient with my money so I can prepare myself to be obedient with my time. Did you know time is more valuable than money? That's right. I guarantee that all money one day will be worthless. But as long as you're here on this earth, you got time and you can continue to use it, can't you? And you can do with it good or bad, just like you can with money. Until the day that God says time shall be no longer. And then we'll all be with Him, amen? But I want to prepare myself in these small matters so I can be obedient in every way. I want to give you some steps today. We don't often do this. A lot of preachers teach with always in steps, and I'm sure not against it because a step at a time is an easy way to learn things, isn't it? And we try to give them, but maybe not just naming them for you. But today I essentially have 7 steps about preparing ourselves to be obedient. I want to prepare to be obedient. I want to prepare for obedience in everything, remembering that I have to start small. So the first thing I hear from God may not be a prophecy about the end of the world. May not be, see. It may be something about, as C.S. Lewis said one time when I was reading his book, Mere Christianity, he said, the first thing you may hear from God as you're reading this book is, what are you doing sitting here reading your book when your wife is over at the sink washing the dishes by herself? Mere Christianity. And would you believe that Henrietta was standing at the sink washing the dishes when I read those words on the page? Now you say, well, C.S. Lewis spoke to you. God didn't speak to you. But that's something very, very important for you to get. Sometimes God speaks through others. Sometimes He speaks through songs. He speaks through words. Did you know that? I put the book down and went over and helped her wash the dishes. Well, you can't hardly stand aback when God talks to you that clearly. And isn't it just amazing how God could put that scenario together where I'd be sitting reading those words at that time in that book and hear it while she's doing the dishes and I'm sitting reading the book. Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to ask you.
No, certainly not.
I've been wanting to ask it. Do you think that God speaks? You know, you'll hear a voice behind you, but I've thought that that's only part of how he talks, that that's not the main way. He talks to so many people and circumstances, and that still small voice.
That's right. That's certainly what I believe, too. It's one of the ways. The reason I think that one is laid out so clearly is because oftentimes when people hear that voice, it's more like an intuition. It's more like a knowing. And some people just dismiss it immediately. And God wants us to learn to pay attention to it too. But yes, I agree with you that many, many times the Lord speaks through a brother, a sister. Sometimes they'll even speak through an unbeliever. An unbeliever will say something. Did you know God can speak through a jackass? That's right. And I'm not talking about somebody you know. I'm talking about an animal. So we should be willing to hear. But here's the thing we need to do. We need to come to the place where we totally submit. Put your hands in the air right now. Say, I surrender.
I surrender.
You know, a lot of times people don't think of that when they put their hands in the air to worship. But that's saying, I surrender. I surrender. If somebody stuck a gun in your back, it'd be obvious you might want to do that, right? Put those hands up. But you know, to surrender to God. And while I'm surrendering to Him, I look at my wrists and I remember that under covenant law, the wrists were cut. And I look there and I only find His blood on my wrists. His blood shed for me. Not only that, when I put my hands up like that, the devil sees the blood. That's my doorpost and my lintel. Amen? And so I'm letting it be seen. But it's a surrender. Submit yourself. Totally, totally submit yourself to the Lordship of the Messiah. Of our God. Totally submit yourself. Now, I want to tell you something. You don't do this just with saying, oh, I do it. No, it's a doing that's a process. To be totally, completely, absolutely submitted to God. Surrender. What am I surrendering? Well, I want to tell you something. Most of us are so laid out in our plans. Every day, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I've got to tell you, most of the time, most people have not asked God about anything they plan. It's their plans. It's their desires. Life desires, life plans. People haven't laid them out with God. And that's why, consequently, we in this society, we have people that all their desire, listen, think about this. All of their desire is get to the place where they can retire and quit. I mean, that's the big thing. You know, we get all of our work done and then we quit. What happens after we quit? What's the next step after retirement? What is it?
Death.
You guys agree on it. Death and dying. Isn't it funny that we aren't in a situation where here we live our life with God in charge, telling us where to go, and retirement is not even a thought? Why should I want to quit? Why would I ever want to quit doing this? Why would I ever want to quit doing what God has called me to do? You say, but Pastor, you have a calling. I'm just a layman. I don't have a calling. Liar. Don't talk to me that way. And don't look at me in that tone of voice. You have a call. A high call from God. You're called. And just as surely as I'm called, you have things to do, places to go, people to see, people to help, serve, minister to, just as certainly as I do. In fact, some of you could have a wider range than I do and not be called to be a pastor, not be called to be an evangelist, not be called to be an apostle, a prophet, not be called to teach, at least not as a specific fivefold ministry calling, but you have a calling. You're called to be saints. You're called to minister, to serve. So you need to surrender your own desires first. Psalm 106, verse 13. You can look it up, or you can just look at it on the screen. It says, "They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." Who knows what had just transpired when this psalm is what it's talking about. It said they forgot Him. They forgot His works. And they didn't wait for Him to tell them what to do. They didn't wait for His counsel. But they lusted. They were wanton exceedingly in the wilderness. What did they want?
Food and water.
Food and water? That happened time after time. This specific time, they wanted meat. We're tired of all this manna. Manna, 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 manna. Tired of manna. Manna omelets. Manna muffins. Everything's manna. And we're tired of manna. We want meat. Give us meat. Now, is it wrong to want meat?
No.
Is it wrong to demand meat? Yeah. But it's not wrong to want it. But they demanded it. Now let me ask you something. How had God treated them? Had He treated them pretty poorly? Had He been meager with them? Did you know they weren't sick when they were in the wilderness? Did you know none of them worked as slaves in the wilderness? In fact, the first thing He did was gave them a full day off every week. Just to rest. No, He's taking care of them. But suddenly they saw something they didn't have or something that they thought might make them happier, and they began to demand it. They didn't seek God's counsel. They demanded their will and their ways. They became self-centered. And the Bible says He gave it to them. And by the way, I want you to know sometimes that, you know, God does give us things we ask for. And He may give you what you want, but you may not want what you get. Are you listening to me? Sometimes people think that a certain thing, a certain event, and we live like that. We go from event to event. We start when we're little, waiting for events. Oh, I'll be happy when I can start school. I'll be happy when I can start. You remember that? How many of you remember when you were little and you thought it'd be the greatest thing to go to school? Can you remember that? I can remember that. That's 60 years ago, and I remember that. Oh man, I want to go to school. And I started this little one-room schoolhouse, had 8 grades in it, and they had just remodeled it. We had green blackboards. First year I went to school, they had green blackboards. I remember, boy, this is great. Well, it wasn't too long after I started school that I thought, oh man, I'll be glad when school's out. And so that was my next big event, when school's out. Now I have to tell you, with me, it took a couple, 3 years before the big school's out thing was exciting. But then, what is it? Well, I get out of junior high, or I get into junior high. I get to start junior high. Now I'm growing up. And then I get into senior high. And then I get to graduate. Man, I'm going to granulate, and then I'll get a certificate and I'll be edumacated, right? Boy, that's me. I'm ready to go now. You know what? Every one of those events were supposed to just be stepping stones. They weren't supposed to be things that I was aiming toward, but that's what I said earlier. Eventually, when you get through all of these events, these different graduations, marriage, children, All of those things that are big events, and many of them meaningful, but we make them an end in themselves. They're not ends. What people forget to do is, as Joyce Meyer says, they forget to enjoy where they are. How she put that? Enjoy where you are on your way to where you're going. We forget to enjoy the presence of the Lord every day. We've got a life. Could be 120 years and we could enjoy Him every day, or we could spend every day waiting for some event that's off over here that we haven't arrived at yet, and our enjoyment level just drops down to nothing because we haven't arrived at this next plateau. And finally, the last plateau is retirement. And there's only one place to go after you retire, right? You say, well, I get to go to heaven. Well, that's great. But you know, what if God wanted you to stick around on the earth as long as I think He wants you to stick around? I get a big kick out of people saying, well, I don't want to live that long. I get a kick out of people doing that. You know, that's one of the reasons God didn't put you in control. You don't get to say. If you want to serve Him, you need to decide, I want to serve Him every day that I've got here on this earth, and I'm going to be a blessing. Amen? We can do it. But you know, I can tell, I've had people 40 and 50 years old tell me that they didn't want to live past 70. Well, that's stupid. Number one, they don't know how fast it goes. Right? And number two, they're just leaving God. They forgot His counsel. They forgot to listen for Him. Lord, what do you want me to do today? I'm bored. No. Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to get in your Word. You want me to study your Word today? Oh, that's good, Lord. That's good. That's food. That's like a feast. I can get in the Word. But while you're in the Word, He may do just like He did with me. He may tell you about somebody you need to call, somebody you need to go see, somebody you need to bake for. Right? You say, is that important? It's one of those things that we learn to hear God about, and if we learn to hear Him, He'll tell us bigger things. Maybe somebody next door He wants you to go lay hands on. Somebody called me last week and said, someone died. And I've got this feeling on the inside that maybe I'm supposed to head for the mortuary. I said, well, listen to God. You can't build these things up yourself and just say, I'm going to the mortuary. You know, that's just you. But if you listen, He'll let you know if He wants you to go. You say, well, we never did that in my church. Well, it hadn't been done enough in this church. But it might start being, huh, if we start listening. Amen? So the first thing is we need to surrender our own desires. We need to say this, and this is why Jesus taught us this prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Man, that's a big prayer. Did you know that? That's a big statement of fact that God wants everything down here just like it is in heaven. No tears. No dying. No hospitals. Wouldn't that be something? We start getting people healed and hospitals all had to close down. You say, well, it maybe never happened. Well, I want you to know it could happen in a lot greater measure than it's happening. Do you see that? Number two, after you've submitted yourself, then trust. And I want to just say we need to begin to trust every day that God's going to speak to you. I believe you're going to speak to me today, Father. I believe you're going to talk to me today. Not just sometime during the day where I get this flash of revelation, but you're going to talk to me today. We're going to have conversation today. You're going to guide me today. You're going to lead me today. I trust that you will speak to me because that's what your Word says. Your Word says that you're going to speak to me. And He won't. God won't leave you without direction. Did you know that? He won't leave you without direction. And we talked a little bit about it, but impressions are part of it. You get the impressions. Sometimes you get an inner voice. But sometimes you hear somebody, a minister speak, and God talks to you through it. Have you ever had this happen where you start saying, boy, I really wonder about this. I sure would like to know about this. And you hear next day or maybe the next week, you hear a pastor speak in his message. He answers your question. Isn't that something? God does that. Sometimes He speaks to us through that. Sometimes he speaks to you through a word of a book or a word of a song. As we've said, through anybody you happen to meet, sometimes God will say something and get your attention. Through them. And how do you know it's him? Now see, this we get into some problem. Well, let me just give you one word and we'll go into it a little bit more later. Shalom. Shalom. Some things need to be laid aside if you don't get shalom with them. Some things need to be put aside. Some things need to be cast down. Right? But we want shalom. Did you have something you wanted to ask? No?
Sometimes when God tells you something, can you have peace but...
Mental?
Mental peace, yeah. But a little bit of...
Yeah. Fear or concern or... Yeah, absolutely. In fact...
At the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. But you'll still recognize the peace that's coming from within. Normally what we get is a mental block. And our mind will say, what? When God says something. But inside, there's just a serenity and a peace and a knowing. And actually, one of the ways to start this is to begin to pray Ephesians 1, 17 through 20 over yourself. And I want you to just... Let's just say this as a prayer over ourselves right now. So you're going to have to change the words a little bit. But if you put up Ephesians 1, 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, so read, start like that. Only when it says, give unto you, say, give unto me. All right? That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward me, as I believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Have you prayed that over yourself before? You need to pray that over yourself. Not only do you pray it over yourself, but you can intercede with this prayer and pray for others with it. If you've got an unbelieving mate, if your husband, your wife doesn't believe, pray it over them. If you've got relatives that don't believe, pray it over them. If there's somebody, a friend that you care about and they don't believe, pray it over them. Even if they do believe, pray it over them, right? Because it's a powerful, powerful Holy Ghost prayer. So begin to pray this. Pray it over yourself. And while you do it, continue to say, my sheep hear my voice. I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. You know me and I follow you. So once you've done that, you've totally submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you trust that God will speak to you, knowing that he's not going to leave you without direction. Then, what do you start doing? Next step. What would you do after you've done this? One word. Before. One step before. First, I've submitted myself, and now I'm stating that I believe that I will hear. What's the next step? What's the step just before obey? Well, we've been trusting. I'm trusting that you're going to speak to me, Lord. And so, I trust it. Now I am going to listen. Say listen. I'm going to listen. We need to listen. We need to listen. How would God sound? What will His voice sound like to me? Will it be like it was on the mountain with a lot of thunder and lightning? Trumpets? No, I'm going to listen. How am I going to listen? Well, we've already said he could talk to you through somebody else. So that means when I'm talking to somebody else, I'm going to listen. You're going to listen when you talk to Cherie. Cherie, you're going to listen when you talk to Justin. Henrietta, you're going to listen when you listen to the TV. We're going to listen to one another. We're going to listen. We're going to listen for impressions. I've been trusting you, Father. I believe that I'm going to hear. Now I'm listening for you. Now this happens to me all the time as I minister, because the things that I say are not things that I thought. So I know I'm listening. I know then. But you see, sometimes when we shift gears when we leave the church. Do you ever do that? Shift gears. And we go back into a kind of a deaf state. We walk around like a bunch of, you know, we're not listening anymore. Now that's not the way you look on the outside, but your spirit man kind of goes back to sleep. Your mind quit listening for things. But we're going to listen. We're going to listen. Maybe a song. That's what happened to me last Sunday. I was telling Chris this morning at Galeed that I was just getting ready last Sunday morning. And I heard and I said, Lord, you amaze me. I'm just amazed at you. And all of a sudden I began to hear him talk about, you know, how great he is and what he's done for us. And those words have started, you know, working over in my mind. And I said, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I knew that song was the thing. So God spoke to me through the words of an old song. How often do you hear me when I'm talking, I'll stop and I'll say, like the word of the old praise song, like the words of the hymn. Well, God speaks to me through songs all the time. Through songs. It's not generally though, I mean sometimes I might be playing a CD and one song will just jump out at me. But a lot of times it's a song comes into my head that I haven't, you know, and I just know that God's teaching me through that. Speaking to me that way. He does it to you too. But you see, we haven't recognized it, so we haven't been ready to really hearken, to really do it. John 16:13 says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Some people, the way we act like, you know, we'll get a little bit here and a little bit there. It says all truth. What does that mean? He's going to guide me in everything I needed in, right? All truth. And all truth is in Him. He's going to guide me into all truth. Then it goes on and says, "For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Could that help us today? To know things to come? What kind of things to come would you like to know? What would be helpful to you to know something that might be happening in the future? Would you like to know some things about the future? By the way, we don't seek the future, but we seek God's voice. And He may show you some things about things to come. What kind of things could help? Nobody knows? How about if God showed you, listen to me now, that General Motors was suddenly going to surge forward and make a lot of money? Could that be something that would be valuable to you? You could buy it at 75 cents a share right now. What if it went up to $75? Would that be helpful to anybody? Huh? I'm not talking about one share now. You understand what I'm saying? How about as you get ready to go someplace, if God shows you there's something on the highway today, I want you to be especially cautious. Would that be helpful to you? If God said, I want you to watch for moose today. You know, we don't think about how many times something like this does happen. But how sad it is when the first time you think of moose is when one's big eyes are looking in your windshield. That's not a good time, is it? But God will show you things to come. And that's not inner sanctum. That's not outer limits. That's not eerie. That's just normal. That's what He wants to do with people that will listen to Him. The Bible says in the 14th verse of John 16, "He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and He'll show it unto you." Did you ever think that when God talks to His people, it glorifies God? Why? Why does it glorify God for you to hear from Him? Well, there are several different scenarios that could happen. Number one, you could hear from him and you might get a word for me. You might get a word for this congregation, what you hear from God. And you might tell the congregation what you've heard. As Cherie had the word that she had, the dreams and the interpretation of the dream that she had. That edifies the congregation. It gets the congregation ready to do some things. Thinking about things we have, that glorifies God, doesn't it? Or if you were to give a specific word, sometimes God will give something specific to someone. Sometimes God will tell somebody something. And it may not be something that's earth-shattering to everybody around, but the person that hears it said, boy, that's what I needed. That's just right. You know, we got a letter in the mail the other day, and it was right after we had had some kind of disheartening things happen around us. Some things that just made me think sometimes, I don't think anybody cares. You know? And I went to the post office, and here's a letter. And it had a check in it, but I've got to tell you, the letter was more valuable than the check. And it just began to talk about how much this ministry had meant to those people and how appreciative they were for it. People that don't even live here. And you know what? My Jesus knows just what I need, and it glorifies Him for us to hear from Him. It glorifies Him. What happens if the believers begin to act according to what God tells them to do? And they begin to do it. Is that going to glorify God? People are going to notice you, aren't they? They're going to say, you know, you always seem to be on the right side of everything. You always seem to, you know, if there's money to be made, you're going to make it. If there's people to help, you're always going to be in the middle of it. Well, what does that do? That glorifies God. How do we know that? Matthew 5:16 says it. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men. Well, what is our light? That's walking in His light. And part of that is hearing what He says and doing it. So listen. Now, before you begin to take action, there's a couple of little steps in between that I want to give you. And this is, you don't have to go through these one at a time, but if you're uncertain, what's the next thing you would do? You hear a voice. You hear God say something. You hear it through someone else. But I'm just not quite sure it's you. What do? You go to prayer. And what is the purpose of that prayer? What?
To hear.
You want to make sure it's God, don't you? I want to make sure it's you. So the next step is test the spirits. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, don't believe every voice. Don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Voices can be confusing. How many of you have ever had a voice that you heard, but it confused you? Spiritual experience. Remember this. Spiritual experience must resonate with the very presence of God. We want that very person of Jesus, His nature, His character in what's being said. Did you know you can hear that? When He speaks, you know. His voice just has a sound to it. You say, but I don't hear it out loud. I don't care. His voice has a sound to it. And it does something on the inside of us. And so you need to learn that. And along with that, you need to make sure that everything you hear lines up with the Word of God. I can't tell you how many people I've had tell me things that they think God said to them, and I knew before they finished, before it was out of their mouth, they didn't hear it from God. They heard it from another spirit. They were certain they heard it from God, and many times it's because it lines up with our fleshly desires. Oh, we call that programming our spirit. I want something so bad that every voice I hear says, do it, do it, do it, do it. And I'll think it's God, but it's not God. And so I have to cast down those spirits. I have to say, does this line up with the person that I know, Jesus Christ? Does this line up with His Word? Does this line up with his nature? Does this line up with his character? The second verse tells us, hereby, 1 John 4:2, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. So there's other voices. Test them. Stop. God's not going to get upset at you for not being quick enough if you're testing, if you're checking. Now, if you're talking to a voice that answers you, make sure you talk about, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Will you confess that? But here's the thing about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh is that there is no salvation unless He did. Did you know that? If Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, then the words you said, His Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If that's not true, there is no salvation. And that is one thing that the devil will not admit to. That was one of the first errors that came into the church, was the people began to come in and say, well, yeah, he rose from the dead, but he really wasn't. He was a spirit. It wasn't really flesh and blood like we were. And so the resurrection's... No, if he wasn't and he didn't shed real blood, then we're still in our sins. So that's why we ask that question. How do you handle those spirits that you know don't line up with the Word? What do you do with a voice you hear that doesn't line up with the Word of God? How are you going to handle it? By the way, I hear those voices occasionally. They're impressions. What do you do to them? Sometimes they sound like this. Grab that guy by the scruff of the neck and lay one right in the middle of his nose. You know what I know? Jesus never, ever did that, never said that. But sometimes I hear that voice. You ever hear it? Sometimes I hear that voice. Get mean. Get loud. Get vehement. Jesus never did that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's very definitely one of the voices of an evil spirit. Judgmental, that's right.
Jesus didn't do that either.
That's Antichrist. It's not Christ, that's Antichrist. That's against the anointing. So how do you handle them? Well, the Bible says rebuke them. How do you rebuke? You know, that's a kind of a religious sounding word. What does a now person say today when you rebuke? You might say rebuke, but what are you saying? What does it mean? I rebuke you, Satan. What does that mean? It means stop it, devil. That's what it means. Stop it and shut your mouth. Right? You see where I always point at him? You want to know why I point at him down there? Because he's under my feet. That's what the Bible says. He's under my feet. He put all serpents and scorpions and all the power of the devil under my feet. None of those things can harm me. Amen. So I rebuke them and reject them. Things that confuse. See, this is the thing you need to... When you hear something and it confuses you, or it makes you feel full of strife, or it discourages you, or, big one, condemns you. I'm not talking about being convicted for unbelief. I'm talking about being condemned. Where you feel like, oh, I'm not worthy. Have you ever had the devil say, you're not going to heaven? Yeah, things you've done, you could never get into heaven with the stuff you've done. Shut up, devil. Right? Stop it, because he's going to try that on you. You're not saved. How do you know you're saved? You didn't do it. How could you be saved? You're going to hell and you know it. You try it. Shut up. Stop it. Cease and desist in Jesus' name. Amen. Reject. Reject those words that confuse, condemn, or discourage. If a word seems right and lines up with the word, but there's no shalom in it, wait on it. Don't jump out and act real quick on that kind of word. Wait until you have the shalom before you do it, even if everything else fits. Say, what's this shalom thing? Well, did you know that Colossians 3:15 says, let the shalom of God rule in your hearts, the peace of God, this nothing missing, nothing broken, shalom of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. So just wait for confirmation if you don't get the shalom with it. Next one is, if you still got any lingering doubts, seek counsel. Is it wrong for us to seek counsel? About everything, yes. But is it right in some situations and in many of them? Yes. If you're not sure, you think you're hearing something, it sounds outrageous to you, or maybe it doesn't sound outrageous, but you're just not sure, ask someone else. But don't go to the young guy that just got born again last week. Go to the guy that's tested and tried, and somebody that's been around for a while and whose life is got fruit in it. Go talk to him. Get some counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Proverbs 24:6 says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So there's a time to go seek counsel, isn't there? Ask somebody else. One more before we act. Ask God about His timing and how we are to carry this out. Did you know that everything you hear is not to be public? I said, did you know that everything that God says to you is not for publication? Did you know that? If the Lord were to happen to show you something about me that needed to be prayed for, if He showed you that I'm slipping, how should that be handled? How would you handle it? Well, you'd stand up in the church and say, the Lord showed me you're slipping, Pastor. Right? Would that be good? It might under certain circumstances, but here's how Jesus handled that. Jesus said in Matthew, He said, if there's a problem with a brother, go to your brother and to him alone. Right? Now, if he refuses to hear you, there may be another step up, see? You may escalate. Then it says, still not public, take another with you. Then it says, take him before the congregation. There's steps. Sometimes it wouldn't even be a problem like that. It just might be something that God showed you that just isn't time to bring it out. Sometimes it needs to be pondered for a while. So every time, ask, when and how am I going to use this information? When and how? Timing. Do you know you can do right things at the wrong time and they be wrong? Isn't that right? Words fitly spoken are like apples of gold, the proverb says. Words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and something of silver. I forgot the last part of it. Finally, this was the step you gave us a little bit ago. What is it? I've been too long? Take action. Get to doing it. Finally, if you've gone through this, you've submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus. You've surrendered your own desires. You've trusted that God will speak to you. Then you start listening. When you hear voices, you're always listening about or testing them. Is this God? Does this line up? Is this? See, these are just criteria. You don't have to stop and go through them in a long, drawn-out thing. If I have any doubts about it, I'm going to seek some counsel. I'm going to ask God about timing, what I'm supposed to do with what He's shown me. And finally, I'm going to take action. When He shows us, it's time. When He shows us, it's no more praying. It's no more waiting. It's no more trying spirits. No more seeking counsel. Then step out and do it. I don't know about you, but I think about Peter. He could have asked for more information when the Lord was walking on the water toward the boat. Did you ever think about this? Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you." Put Jesus right in a box in a way, you know, because Jesus couldn't say, "No, it's not me, Peter." Goody. He had to say, "It's I, come." Somebody said, "Well, you know, Peter kind of made a fool of himself that day." Did you ever look at it that way? I mean, Peter got out of the boat and he went a few steps and then he began to sink. Somebody said, "I'm glad that wasn't me." But you know what? I'd rather be, listen to me now, I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. How about you? I'd rather have had that experience of even for three steps, say, "Wow! I've done what Jesus said, and look at this! Water can't hold Jesus, can't hold me, but it's doing it." Even though he looked around and got fearful and began to sink, think of experience that we don't have evidence that anybody else ever did that, do we? Now, if you read Like a Mighty Wind, which was the book by Mel Tari about the revival in Indonesia, they tell stories of people walking across rivers in those great revivals. Multitudes raised from the dead in those great revivals. But as far as the Bible has, Jesus and Peter are the only two walked on water, right? Now Elijah had the water part. Moses had the water part. Elisha had the water part. But only Jesus and Peter walked on water. And I think it's time for us to say, you know, after I come through all of this time of making sure that I'm going to act, and if things don't happen just the way I thought they were going to happen, I've still done what Jesus said. And if I miss it once in a while, that's better than just sitting back and not doing anything. Amen? How many of you agree with that? How many of you are too proud? I don't expect a hand raise on this one. But how many of you are too proud to look foolish once in a while? You remember Jim Powers telling the story about telling the guy right in the middle of the Salt Lake City airport to rise up, the man that had died? Well, two times he looked really foolish, didn't he? But the third time made it worth it all. I want to learn obedience. I want to learn to act. Better to look foolish than to miss a chance to see the miraculous power of God in manifestation. To miss a chance to walk on water. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Say it with me. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I hear the voice of Yeshua. I will obey. I will not delay. The difference between a growing, glowing believer and a pew-sitting, nominal Christian has to do with hearing and obeying His Word. Amen? Did you know that? There are many nominal Christians. They'll tell you they're believers. They can tell you that they've said all the right words, but you know there's no fruit in their life. Nothing's changed. I believe that difference comes from hearing and obeying. Being actors of the Word. Acting on what He said. That's where I want to be. How about you? Let's stand. Praise God. Father, we love You so much. We honor You and obey You today. And we say today, Father, that as we have spoken and as we've said, we will hear and we will be doers of the Word. Father, that You hear our words today. And I believe, Father, as we pray today, because we're praying according to Your will, that every person here will become living, walking witnesses of Jesus Christ. That every word we speak, every place we go, all of the actions of our life will show forth the love of God, will show forth the power of God in Your kingdom, which is within us, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit will manifest, not just in our words, but in our actions with power. And we praise you for it and thank you for it today. We thank you that you hear our prayer, and because you hear our prayer, we have those things that we've desired from you. I will hear your voice. You know me. I will follow you. Amen. And Father, now as we have our hands raised in the air waiting for your blessing upon us today, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. And everybody that received it said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.